Praise God. It's Jesus, ain't it? Amen. Do you love God this morning? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to St. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. I'm going to talk about something this morning that you need. And if you think you don't need it, you'll probably need it before the day's out. If you haven't recognized that you need what I'm going to preach on. It's something that's common throughout every single individual on the face of the earth. And when it creeps into the body of Christ, it works a great destructive force in every single person who allows this to have its way in their life. And it's going to be a little story about Zacchaeus. One pastor told me it's Zacchaeus, but I told him my family's from Virginia and Kentucky, and we call it Zacchaeus. So I'm going to stick with that. I don't think you can educate people too much where they can't talk anymore, and I thank God that we've got this message this morning. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And I'd like to use for the thought this morning out of chapter 19, St. Luke's Gospel, verse 3 of the last part of it. Could not for the press, because he was little of stature. The Bible says a man named Zacchaeus came out to see Jesus, and all he could see was people. All he saw was people. He really wanted to see Jesus, and all he could see was people. Every single one of us fall into this trap of Satan of looking at people instead of Jesus. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. God's going to help us. And so what I want to use for a thought this morning is rising above people and getting to where you just see Jesus. You can't help people till you get a clear view of Jesus. And I want to use for that thought. And it could be any kind of problem, but this morning I want to center it mostly upon looking at people instead of God. And let's pray on that. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we praise you and we bless you, God, and honor you. Lord, we trust in you this morning for all things. Lord, exalting your holy name, God, blessing you first, God, and most above everything that we do. Lord, I'd ask you through this word, touch every heart in this house. God, if anyone's lost their view of you, Lord, and their vision, Lord, I'd ask you this morning to restore it. Lord, if people have come between you and your some of your people this morning, God, we want to get it out of the way. Lord, we want to get into a place where we can see you, Jesus, and exalt you, Lord. And God, your work and will be done in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I think one of the most astounding things I ever learned out of serving God for the years that I've been saved, 8 years now, one of the greatest things I learned was that it's the work of Satan to get me looking at people instead of Christ. It's the work of Satan for me to dwell upon people that don't come to revival. Man, when I first started preaching and I'd start a Sunday morning, Sunday night on through the week revival, man, Monday night I'd be so mad when only about half the people show up for revival. And Tuesday night, we'd have about another half again. And I really got to the place where I couldn't hardly preach for that dominating my mind and my thoughts. And I began to saying things about it. And you know, the Lord really dealt with me on it that you can't help the people that aren't there. So preaching about it sure ain't going to help them any. I'm not picking on anybody right now. But what I'm saying is in my own ministry, I got to the place where I was looking at the people instead of looking to the Word and praising God. Now, there's nothing in the world wrong with preaching against sin, compromise, and all the works of darkness. But it's another thing when you come into the house of God and I preach on you. And I don't like you that kind of sweater you got on, and I get up and preach about that kind of sweater. Or maybe I don't like the pastor's suit, and so I preach against this or that or the way you look. What I'm saying is when that begins to happen, Christ can't get edified in your life, in my life, or in the life of anyone in the house. The only way Christ can receive glory is when we look to Jesus and magnify Him in all things that we do. The Bible says this little fellow named Zacchaeus lived in a city called Jericho. Now, this city called Jericho wasn't the one they shouted the walls down and rebuilt it, but it's a mile and a half to the west at the foot of the hills. And this city, Jericho, is one of the main trade centers of its day. This city, Jericho, is a place that's teeming with activity, and it's on the main trade route from Egypt into Perea and into Judea. So it's an area that's dominated by trade right there upon this route. This city, Jericho, is in the Gilead district. And the healing balm of Gilead, that's the major medicine to the whole world, comes right out of this little city here, or a larger city called Jericho. Jericho was once owned by Cleopatra, and when Anthony courted her, he imported great balsam and shrub and rose and flowering shrubbery that he planted all around the hillside. The reason he did this, in the area of Jericho, there's a constant gentle breeze that blows across that area coming down off of the mountains. And as this breeze would blow across these flowering shrubs, it'd pick up the fragrance and drifted across the city. And this city, Jericho, was known in its day as the city of odors, or the city of fragrance. It was like a city that was constantly perfumed by all the gardens that were planted around it. Cleopatra sold this land to Herod's family. Herod the Great built white cottages all around the mountainsides, around the flowering shrub gardens and everything. And he invited rich aristocrats and very wealthy people and men of political means would come and stay in these cottages. And it became more like what we talk of Reno, Nevada, or Las Vegas, Nevada, or Atlantic City, New Jersey, or New York City's higher class area. It became a vacation spot for rich people. The temperature was pretty steady year round, and people would come there and rent out these cottages. They had health spas like Steam's Rock Spas, or whatever you call them there, but they had them built around in these areas where rich people could just come, make their trade on their goods, rent out a fabulous little cottage on the hillside. The old aroma would drift across the city because of there's so many gardens planted around it. Jericho was the largest producer of honey in the world. And that land that flowed with milk and honey, it flowed out of this city of Jericho. And most every goods either had Jericho's stamp on it or had been through Jericho entering or leaving the country. This city, Jericho, Herod the Great's buried in it. Everybody that's ever known anything knows about Jericho. Inside this city of Jericho is a little fellow named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus is a Jew, and the word Zacchaeus, the name itself, means pure. Zacchaeus is a Jew that's become the chief tax collector, or the head of the customs department of Jericho. This great metropolis with the trade flowing day and night through it. Zacchaeus is the head of controlling the revenue on all the trade that passes through this area. Usually this job was given to somebody with a broken life. Because you see, once a Jew took the job of publican, he was automatically excommunicated from the church. He wasn't allowed to celebrate on the Day of Atonement to have his sins covered. He wasn't allowed to celebrate the holy days. He wasn't involved in the feast. The Jews didn't associate anymore because the taxes he was levying was from the pagan Roman government upon the Jews. And there was a constant. That's why they were so excited about the Messiah coming. They thought when the Messiah got here, he was going to defeat the Roman government, turn the government over to the Jews, and Rome ruling all of the known world, that the Jews were going to take over the government of the world. In this city of Jericho lived a fellow named Zacchaeus. And in Luke 3 and 13, they came to John the Baptist, the publicans did, and they said, "What's required of us?" He said, "Exact no more than what's appointed you." What he said was, when the Roman government says the tax is 15%, charge them 15%. The way the tax collector got rich was, if your tax was 15%, he charged you 20. If you give him a hard time, he charged you 25. He could levy your tax like court costs today they got in our courts of America. He could make your court costs anything he felt like making it, depending on how much he loved you. He could set your fines or hated you and set your fines accordingly. This man named Zacchaeus had a job that drunks, men with busted lives, men with no ambition or drive had, because of the excommunication from the church and the pressure upon them from all the people that they worked around. But this fellow named Zacchaeus had ambition. He had drive. He was going to be somebody. But to become what he wanted to be, the head of the customs department, he had to turn his back on his people. He had to turn his back on his nation. He had to turn his back on his God and say, I don't need any of you. I'm going to be rich with the Romans. This man Zacchaeus was much like when you get a letter in the mail from the IRS. I don't think anybody says, oh, honey, we got some letter, got some mail today from the IRS. You get a letter with a California stamp and your son and daughter just moved out there. It's, hey, honey, look what we got in the mail today. You get your pension check or welfare or whatever, you get it in the mail, and boy, you're ready when you see what the address is. But when you get that stuff from the IRS, and if anybody ever knocks on the door and your wife says, honey, there's a government man here from the IRS, and your heart goes up to your throat and your stomach feels like it's just you're about to throw up. What did I do wrong? You never think he's going to come by and give you a couple $1,000s. See, what I'm saying is that was the attitude toward Zacchaeus. I want us to just, when Zacchaeus came around, he wanted to take from you. When Zacchaeus come around, he's going to cheat you. Zacchaeus knew what you were supposed to pay in your taxes, but he was going to jump them up and put some in his pocket. So anytime Zacchaeus come around, everybody shunned him. He wasn't allowed in with the social activities of his day. Zacchaeus was hated by everybody. He cheated everybody he came in contact with. Zacchaeus was a thief. He was a crumb. He was just flat out a crook. And everybody hated Zacchaeus. And Jesus came by Jericho for Zacchaeus. Boy, if there was ever anything, I could think of the love of God being more powerful. We all see people in society who's rejected for one reason or another, and people that just have maybe a personality that people don't like them, and they're rejected of men and women, and people don't want them around. And when you begin to think that Jesus loves that person as much as He loves you, and Jesus cares as much for them and went to Calvary for them as much as He did the most cordial or the person that's the most pleasant individual you ever met, that Jesus is no respecter of persons. And He loves the Zacchaeus as much as He does the priest. And He loves the evangelist as much as the song leader. And He loves the song leader as much as the congregation. And when Jesus came by Jericho, He knew there was a man in that town that had a need. And Jesus, the only thing we've got recorded in Jericho is when Jesus and Zacchaeus got together. Zacchaeus, the Bible said, sought to see Jesus, who He was. We got a lot of religious people there that know who Jesus is, who Jesus represents. We've got a lot of religious people today that know about Jesus, but down in their heart they don't really know who He is. See, if old President Reagan or President-elect Bush came down through the streets of your fair city maybe a Tuesday afternoon and you was off, most anybody would just go out and at least watch Him go by. Not to see who He is. You know who He is. You want to see what He looks like in person. But the Bible's saying that Zacchaeus didn't come out just to see Jesus or to look at Him, but he sought to see Him who He was. If He was this great teacher that He claimed to be, if He was the healer everybody said He was, if He was the greatest preacher that ever hit planet Earth, if He was really this guy that was the Messiah that could forgive sin, Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus for who He was. And the Bible said he couldn't see Him for the press because he was little of stature. Now, I don't believe God put this in there to let all the short people know God loves you. I believe it goes a lot deeper than that, all right? I believe it's a spiritual reference right here. I believe with my heart, what God's trying to show you is that when you look at people, it makes you little. When you get your eyes on people, you can't see Jesus. Zacchaeus comes out, and what is in between him and Christ? Every dollar he ever took, every time he ever did your taxes, every time he ever passed tariff on anything that you had to do in that area, every time Zacchaeus came around, how he talked about you and gossiped about you and laid for you. How you ever, maybe you've never done this, but been mad at somebody and talked about them to somebody else, and then have to come back to church Wednesday night and be in the same room with them. Have you ever said something about somebody and somebody said, well, that's my cousin? Boy, I'll tell you what, you learn to watch your mouth real quick. You get to the place where you won't say nothing about nobody till you know who they're related to. Does anybody know anything about what I'm talking about this morning? You embarrass yourself by opening your mouth. Zacchaeus has come out to see Jesus, and everybody in the church, and he's talked about him. Everybody in the church, he's done him wrong. He's wronged everybody that he runs into, and he can't see Jesus because of all the people. Where's church at? Well, it's not in this building. We know that. It's got to be something greater than that. If that was true, the only people that could get saved had to come over here. As a matter of fact, I've been in a lot of buildings that called churches that wasn't. Because the only way you can have a church is that the power of God be made manifest in it. And you see, you could come to this building and not worship, praise God, or center your attention on Christ, and it wouldn't be a church at all. But you could go home and go down in your basement and one of your neighbors stop by and you start talking about Jesus and have church. Or go up in your attic and have church. Or be out on the job standing on the machine and have church. Or maybe in your backyard and let the power of God manifest and really have church. I mean the power of God moving because you worship and you center your attention on Christ. Zacchaeus comes out to a place where everybody's attention's on Christ. And they're doing the same thing. Christ is walking down the street. The people's lined both sides of the street. It's almost like a parade. The multitudes around Him. People are looking to see this Jesus, what He looks like. And one man shows up to see who He is. The Bible says that Zacchaeus, he couldn't see Jesus. He's too busy looking at the people. His problem was greed. Now, I don't know what your problem was before you got saved. But I can almost guarantee you, you blame somebody for your problem. You see, I was in a church one time and a fella came up to me. He was a minister, but he wasn't the pastor, but he's a minister from that church. He said, brother, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you know, when we have our church services at the beginning of them, we can just praise God and bless God and the power of God moves so greatly until that woman that wears earrings comes in. He said, when she comes in, everything just gets cold all around me and I can't worship. I said, well, brother, I want to tell you something. You got a problem. He's blaming her because she's doing something he didn't agree with. But the real problem was down in his heart. When people coming around could rob him of the power of God in His presence. And a lot of people do things that I don't agree with. But we've got to rise above those things, people, and bring our hearts into a place where no matter where you're at or what the situation is, you can worship God and bless His name whether nobody agrees with you in the house. I told him, I said, man, the devil's liable to get you a job in an earring factory and you'll never be able to worship God again. Amen. Judgmental attitude. If you're not like me, I'm not going to go to church with you. If we ain't all punched out of the same mold, then I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to go someplace where they all look alike. God help you if you want everybody to look like you. God help us if you want everybody to look like you. Folks, we need to get in a place where we come in here to see Jesus. And I don't come in here to see who you are or what you're like or whether you're like me, but I come here because my heart needs fed. Because I need to come into the manifested presence of God where the words preached and choruses are sung and the glory of God's revealed in the house. And I get it into the heart and I take it out to the world and people know that I've been around Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. When I was a little kid, our little old town I lived in, we had a parade down the middle of the street every time they had a circus. They brought the elephants, tigers in cages and everything. And so what they'd do is they'd announce it, like I guess on a Friday evening or Saturday, probably Saturday morning, before they went down to put the tents up and everything. And they'd have a parade down the streets of town. Now, when they have this parade, us kids would always get there first and get a curb seat, we always called it. Get a seat right on the curb there as the parade go by. And I remember one year my dad got us there about 20 minutes late and the parade had started and the crowd was there and we couldn't get us a seat. And so I rode on my dad's shoulder for about an hour watching that parade go by. And I believe that's the last time we was ever late for a parade. He learned a good lesson there. But what I want you to see in it is that until I got on my dad's shoulders, I had a problem. I couldn't see the parade for the people. Now, this has happened to you, it's happened to me, and I'm not fabricating something about Zacchaeus. When you was growing up, or if you're a short person, every one of you, or if the people have blocked your view of anything, every one of you know what I'm talking about. What do you do when you want to see something, and there's a crowd of people between you and that thing you want to see, whatever it is? First thing you do is try to find you a place you can see. You try to find you a gap, you don't care how big it is. You try to find you a space where you can look through there and at least get a glimpse at what you want to look at. Now, this is exactly what Zacchaeus has done.
He's tried to find him a seat in the church somewhere where them people with his problems aren't bothering him, and where he can maybe get an empty, maybe you bother him and you bother him, so he's going to get a seat where he don't have to look at either one of you, and he can get a view of what's going on down front. Zacchaeus, what he's trying to do is ignore the people. What Zacchaeus is trying to do is act like they're not there. One fella came up to me when I got saved and he said, "Man, you fight an awful lot of battles. You ought to know, do what I do." I said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "I just ignore the devil and act like he's not there." I thought, "Man, that's pretty good. I'm going to try that one now. I get in these spiritual battles. I try to battle them out and pray my way through them. I'm just going to start acting like he ain't there. I'm not even going to give him a notability that he's even around." And I found that I couldn't do it. I wasn't that strong. But it wasn't about a month later, I walked into a little old ice cream store, and there that guy was standing with a Playboy t-shirt on and a Zodiac sign hanging around his neck and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he dropped out of church. What I'm saying is you can't ignore the devil. And if you're looking at people, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit of God. If you've taken that judgmental attitude this morning, that's the work of an unclean spirit in your heart. And if you ignore him, he'll stay there and eventually take complete victory over you. When you see those things are bothering you, quit blaming them. Quit shoving it off on them. And go to the altar and say, "Lord, I've got a problem down in my heart. Lord, I want to pray this thing out of me that I can have victory and joy again." Well, I think the next thing Zacchaeus did was the same thing we did. Thought he'd get on his tiptoes. Now maybe he could just overlook everybody. You ever hear that one? Just overlook them. Don't let them bother you. Folks, you can't overlook them. They're really there. And they really got something that's bothering you. And there's no way you'll ever overlook them because you can't stay on your toes that long. You're going to spend your whole existence doing this. Getting above your problem, getting below your problem, you got to do better than that. You can't overlook the people. So I imagine the next thing Zacchaeus did was this. He going to shout his way in. You ever seen that crowd? Don't make amends. Don't get things right with anybody. Have arguments. But boy, when it's time to sing, get a group in here, buddy. We're going to have church. Lord, help us. Paul gave you a little break. He said the flesh profited little. Jesus cut you none. He said the flesh profited nothing. He said, no flesh or glory in the presence of God. You can't shout your way into the Spirit. It's impossible. I don't care who's told you that. They've lied to you or been misinformed and passed it on. It's impossible for the flesh to bring you into the Spirit. The whole Bible's written about the Spirit bringing your flesh out of the world and into the goodness of God. Lining your life up with the Scripture. And you don't have a right to shout it. I don't care who you are, where you're from, or what kind of raising you've had, until your heart's right. Until you've cleared your record with God. Until you're in love with everybody, you've got no right to shout and dance and rejoice in the house of God. Until you lift up pure praise and pure love for God, you've got no right. You'll never shout your way into the Spirit of God. I know people say, well, you can just dance until you get in the Spirit. It's not true. You can get your heart right, and that's the only way in. Yielding yourself to God and being humble, and man, dance. I mean it. Then get in there and get your heart right and dance. Then do whatever you want to do to praise God. I'm not hindering that. But folks, a lot of times I've been in churches where people just danced until they got into some kind of a fit. And boy, and I'll get in a fit if you want to, but get your heart right before you get into it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shout, run, jump, knock over a chair if you need to. But get your heart right first. Don't pretend religion. Don't shout over top of your problems. But come to God and say, God, I want to rejoice in you today. But my heart's not right. Lord, don't let me be a hypocrite. But let me make my heart right before you. Boy, I'll tell you, I get to preach to all of them, folks. And I'm telling you the truth this morning. You got to get your heart right before you ever got to shout. You can do a whole lot of things. But if your heart's not right, you're doing nothing but showing off. You're not doing it for God, you're doing it for me. When your heart's not right, you're trying to entertain me with your religiosity. Oh, but when your heart's right, you can bless God in everything that you do. Zacchaeus found out, he found out it's the truth that I'm telling you. If you haven't found it out yet, believe me, because Zacchaeus tried it. He's tried it, and what he's finally done is thought, I'll outrun the people. There's so crowd around here, they won't live right, they won't do what I tell them. I'm going down the road where they live right. No, Zacchaeus, the Bible says, took off running. That crowd he couldn't see around, couldn't see over, couldn't ignore. He took off running away from them. You know what happened when he got down the block? Found there was a whole new group of people between him and Jesus.
Well, I'll go down to Kentucky. That's where they really live. And he got down there, and you know what the church was full of?
People.
Went to Florida. You know what was down there on vacation?
People.
Went and visited his daughter in Texas. You know what was out there?
People.
Went fishing up in Canada and stopped in a little mission on a Wednesday night. You know what was there?
People.
And every church he went to, somebody had his problem. Everywhere he went. You know why? He was carrying it with him everywhere. Man, you carry your sins with you like baggage. You carry your old grudges and the old things that aren't right with God around with you. And you can blame people from now until Jesus comes back and you miss the rapture. Or you can get in the altar and say, God, I'm at fault. You told me to love everybody. And if you loved them while they were crucifying you, surely I can love them down here when they disagree with me. The Bible's telling us that Zacchaeus found something out. I'm not going to get anything out of this. I'm just going to wear myself out. I'm not going to get nothing out of this kind of life. Blaming everybody for my problems. And I imagine Zacchaeus out of breath. You ever seen a rich man run down the street? Well, I haven't. Unless maybe they got a $200 jogging suit on, green and bright orange or something. I don't know. Zacchaeus is out of breath. He stops down there by the tree and says, this ain't working. I've ignored these people. I've overlooked them. I've tried to shout my way in and act like I was all right. I tried to outrun them. Everywhere I go, there's people. And I want to see Jesus. And about that time, I think it might have been the Spirit of God say to him, you want to see Jesus? Get up there where you can see him, man. And old Zacchaeus climbed up that tree and sat down. And up in that tree, and said he sat up in that tree waiting on Jesus to come by. Now, Zacchaeus has laid down his pride here, folks. I don't know about you, but if I ever walked down the street and saw my banker sitting in a tree, I'd change banks. I think he's just a little bit too squirrely to be handling my money. But Zacchaeus don't care. He ain't after your money. Zacchaeus is out to see Jesus now. See, he ain't after his greed, his pride, his lust. He isn't after his lies, his desires. He isn't after hurt. He really wants to see him now. He's going to leave you alone because he's going to see Jesus. If you're ever going to see Jesus, you're going to have to leave him alone. Now, there's an old saying, there's a song that says that God grew the tree that he knew would be used for old Calvary. And I believe it. I believe God's that all-knowing. But I also believe God grew the tree that he knew would be used for Zacchaeus to climb up in so he could sing. And if he did that for Zacchaeus, and he's no respecter of persons, I believe he knew the tree that was going to be used for you to climb up in when you needed to see Jesus. I believe he knew what problems was keeping you earthbound. And I believe God made a way of escape for you. If you just try your best to see me and give me everything you got, I'll show you how to get up above all those problems and come to the place where you can see me again and have faith in me again and trust in me and know who I am in a pure way. Oh, Zacchaeus got up in the tree and waited. Jesus came by. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down out of your tree. He said, now that you see me, make haste. The reason Jesus said make haste is very simple. If Zacchaeus had took his time, he'd have climbed back down out of the tree just like he got up in it. And you know, that's that old crowd that comes to the altar and never leaves their burden there. But they get down out of the tree, and I'll use the altar as a tree, a place you can see Jesus from. They get out from the altar the same way they got into it. And where they at? Right back down behind the people again. Right back down behind their mother-in-law. Right back down behind their cousin that they never could get along with. Right back down. They come to the altar, but they never make haste when Christ passes by. Jesus is saying, Zacchaeus, jump. Jump. Come running to me. Make haste. Don't get out of that tree like you got in it. You'll be back in your problems. But jump out of there. Make haste. And come to me today. The Bible said Zacchaeus came down out of that tree. They got a picture of a tree over in Israel. The mulberry tree, the sycamore tree he was supposed to have been in. And it's got a big old split down the side of it. And they said he come out of that tree so fast he split it. Now, you know they got a lot of junk going on over there with your tours. But they do. I've seen pictures of it. No, I don't believe he split the tree getting down. I don't even believe he touched the tree getting down. I believe Zacchaeus, when he saw his chance to see Jesus and be with Jesus, I believe he just jumped and let that tree go. He don't need it no more, see? Why? Because he's going to be on the other side of his problems. The Bible tells us in Matthew 18:20, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And you know, folks, we've took this all, most of our Christian existence to think, when we come to church, Jesus is standing in the middle of the church. When we get together, we form a circle because Jesus is in there. But that's not what he's talking about.
Jesus is saying, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means if this week I backed into your car out there and you said, oh, that's okay, brother, but deep down inside you were still really mad at me and upset. When we really came, which I didn't, then he ain't. I don't think. It wasn't me. But what really happens is when we come together in Jesus' name, Jesus stands in between us. And I don't see you anymore, as I saw you, like I was saying. But I see you through Jesus. And I don't look at you anymore as to whether you're like I think you ought to be, but I see you through Jesus. He's in the middle of us. He's standing in between us. And I don't see you by my opinions or my thoughts when I come together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the middle of them. I'll be right between you, and whether I'm the kind of preacher you want me to be or not, if we come together in Jesus' name, man, Jesus will be in between us and we'll love each other. See what I'm saying? Our differences and our idiosyncrasies and our different standards or different understandings of the Bible doesn't make us enemies, because we come together in Jesus' name. And when you do things in the name of Jesus, you see things through Jesus and you see people through Jesus. Man, if God had to look at you for what you really are, God would turn His back on you in a minute. But He doesn't. And He sees you through Jesus. And when you approach the throne of God, who's your mediator, your adversary, or your advocate and your lawyer? It's Jesus. He stands between you and God. And God sees you through Jesus. And you see God through Jesus this morning. And that's what He's saying for each of us. I'm to see you through Jesus. I'm to love you through Jesus. I'm to worship with you through Jesus. I'm to bless God through Jesus. And let Him be in the midst of everything I do. See, if somebody's between you and Jesus, between you and God, they're closer to God than you are. They got to be. We all know that. But you see, the key to it is that when you got all these things between you and God, I'll use this chair as the things. What you do is all these things between you and God, you say, get behind me, Satan. And you recognize those things that get between you and God are in your heart. It's not things that people are doing. It's your heart. And then what you do is put Jesus in front of you. And boy, when you turn around, Jesus is in between you and all those things. You can reverse this thing on the devil if you will. You've got the power to do it if you will. You can love everybody. You can overcome every problem. You can climb every mountain, cross every river, and swim every sea you come through. If you'll keep Jesus between you and that problem, and not let it dominate your heart and overpower you, you can have victory. You can rise above it till you see Jesus alone. Man, everybody's seeing Jesus but Zacchaeus, and now he's got Jesus' attention. He says, I want to go over to your house. Boy, can you see the church now? Well, that old drunk Zacchaeus drinks. He's the tax collector. He's the thief. And the church started murmuring. The Bible said they did. Isn't this strange? Everybody got mad because Jesus was going with Zacchaeus. At the beginning of it, Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus for the people. Now the people can't see Jesus for Zacchaeus. Amen. Well, won't that happen to you if you don't watch it? You'll have a clear view of Christ and somebody will come along and get saved. And we almost pray like this, God help us. And it's not often, but it will happen this way sometimes. God, send us some singers in our church. But Lord, don't send one better than me. I've been the lead singer for the last 8 years around there. And everybody knows my songs. And if somebody else comes in, they might not ask me. Whew. Zacchaeus has got abilities and they don't want him in the church. Zacchaeus has got an ability to handle finances, to rise to the top of the tax department. Lord, you know, you can get Zacchaeus in, Lord, but he's got 3 daughters that sing, and my 3 girls don't practice. And so, you know, if they get into church, they'll be the new trio, and it just causes confusion. Lord, why don't you let Zacchaeus and his family go down the road? You know, God, send us a bass player, but Lord, don't send one better than my son. He won't come if he can't play the bass. God, send us teachers, but oh, Lord, we've got an adult teacher, if you remember. I've been the adult teacher since we founded this. Lord, we need some help in our finances. God, send us people. I'm not picking on the adult teacher either. But I'm going to hit this one too then, so I won't feel alone. Lord, send us somebody with finances, but doesn't know how to handle them too good, because I've been the clerk for 18 years. So send us somebody with money, but Lord, not too respected. What the church has done is they've prayed, oh God, we want to evangelize the world. And God started sending them in. And they start saying, well, that ain't the ones we wanted.
We didn't want black people, Lord. We didn't want the Chinese that opened a shoe shop and a tailor shop and put my boy out of business because they do better work cheaper. God, we want people in our church, but we want people like us. We want people that think like us and do like... God, you know, I mean, we want to have church, God, but Lord, there's plenty of people out there. You send us the ones that's like us and the ones that aren't. They can start their church, Lord. But God, what about Zacchaeus? He cheated me on my taxes last year. And you're going to let him in the family. He sure is. You're going to go home and you're going to go live at Zacchaeus' house with him? I sure am. You're going to love him like you love me? Oh, yes, I am. Zacchaeus made an effort to see me. And I'm going to bless that effort. Zacchaeus stood up when Jesus was at his house and made this statement. I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. I don't know anybody that ever got that saved but Zacchaeus. Did you? Did you get that saved? That when you got saved, you were just going to give half of everything you had. You got that but much love in you. Well, I can live. I'll make it somehow. I'll give half of everything I got away. I don't know. I didn't. Maybe you did. I can't get a nod out of nobody. But that's salvation, ain't it? That's salvation. And Zacchaeus stood up, and after he cheated everybody come through town, he said this, and I'm going to pay back four times everybody that I stole from. Whew. Zacchaeus said, that guy that lives way on the other side of town doesn't know who I am. I sold him my car. The transmission didn't slip till it got hot, so we just drove it around a couple blocks and let him see how it runs. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back over there and buy that man a transmission. He got saved, folks. You ever try to win somebody? You sold a car with a bad transmission or this thing. People want to buy a house. You want to show it in the middle of the drought. Does the basement leak? Well, come and look at it for yourself. I don't know if you ever dealt with insurance or realtors or not, but how about the roof? Dry as a bone. They probably sold a lot of houses this year for the rain. Foundation's starting to give way. How about the foundation? Oh, you don't need to see the foundation, man. Look at this yard you got here. And then try to win them to Christ. You can forget it. You've just about sealed them off to hell. When the church doesn't give somebody a good deal. It's not our job to beat everybody we come into. That's the world's ways, folks. You know how God blesses you? One way. He said to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you. And I'll curse them that cheat you. I'll curse them that take advantage of you. And don't think God's going to bless your life when you're out here taking advantage of people. You don't have to be poor and in poverty stricken and have nothing, but you got to bless people. You got to give them a square deal. You got to be honest with them. The only way we're ever going to win them is that they know when they go to do business with a Christian, there's hope in the deal. Man, when people call me up and say, brother, I called you up. I'm selling houses, you know, and everything. And I'm a Christian, and I thought you'd want to do business with me. I always sat there for a minute. Now, wait a minute. I never told this guy I wanted a house. And how's he know I'm a Christian? And if I'm a Christian, and he says he's a Christian, how do I know I can trust him that he's even saved? He might be. You see what I'm saying? Well, we've got it planted in our head, folks. And you know why? Because so many Christians are out there claiming to be Christians that aren't. So many people. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost for somebody. Listen to me close in your business. God requires of you to be honest with people. God requires of you to bless people. God requires of us. That's the only way God can bless us and help us. You know who the most blessed guy in Jericho is now? He used to be the most cursed. Oh, Zacchaeus. Because he said, I'm going to bless everybody. Do you think he'll get out of being blessed? You think you can miss a blessing when you bless everybody? Do you think when you reach out and really become the individual that wants to help people, that you really could miss out on the blessings of God? The other morning, I was a half hour late to meet some fellas for breakfast. We had a special meeting, and it was called, and I had to be there. It was a part of the ministry, and everybody was there waiting on me. I was a half an hour late. Now, I want you to listen to this. It's shocking what was said. They said, what happened? And I said, well, I poured out my driveway, and there was a wreck. And I said that nobody was really injured bad, but this woman was really shook up. And I said, I stayed with her, you know, as long as I could. And she said that her husband would come out there if I'd call him. I said, so she got calmed down and she gave me her phone number and I went back to my house. It wasn't that far. I said, I went back to my house and called her husband and came out there and waited till the police got there. And one of them said, well, that's Joe, good Samaritan.
I was serious. It hurt me. Not because I didn't know what else to do. What are you going to do when somebody's in a wreck? And I thought for people to think, well, yeah, he's late. We're waiting on him and everything. He's out there trying to help somebody. I'm not belittling the individual that said it, but it really hurt me. Because it wasn't said in a way of, way to go, man. It was, well, we've been waiting on you, and you've been out there trying to do police work. You know. No. See, the reason people don't look to the church is we let the world take care of all of it. We drive right by them. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to close on this. I've been a long while anyway. But, sister, if you'd come to piano. I'm going to throw this in on Zacchaeus. I never thought of it until God brought it here this way. Nobody came by and tried to help Zacchaeus. There's nobody there helping him. The people won't even get out of his way and help him see Jesus. The people won't even make an effort to move over for Zacchaeus. We got you this time, buddy. If you see him, you're going to see him on your own. You know there's a lot of people out there in the world that feel like that now. Because of things Christians have done and said to them, they feel like they can't trust Christians. What about the fellow in Luke that was beat up and robbed and left for dead, laying on the side of the road saying, will somebody help me? And the preacher came by. And he said, buddy, I'm on my way to the temple. The overseer's going to be there this morning. If I'm late, he'll think I'm not responsible and I'll never get a better church. What about the Levite that came by and the guy was across the road saying, would somebody just help me? Just stop for a minute. Man, I'm late. I'm in charge of Sunday school this morning. If I don't get there, we'll never get everything organized. I got to pass out the new literature we got. Man, I'm too busy. I'm going to church, man. I can't stop and help you alongside the road. I'll be late. And the fellow's laying there and a Samaritan comes up. A heathen. A devil worshiper comes up and says, I'll help. Not only will I help you a little bit, but here on the roadside, I'll put some clothes on you. And I'll take you down here to an inn. I don't have much money now, but I'm going to go do some business. I'll have some on the way back. Pours oil in his wounds, binds him up, and tells the innkeeper, just do whatever he needs. On the way back, I'll stop back and check on him. Well, can you imagine what church that fella's going to start going to? Can you imagine this fella is going to believe the devil is God? Why? Because the only person that would help him was somebody that was full of the devil. But at least he saw somebody that had a need and he stopped and helped him. Zacchaeus, there wasn't nobody to help him. And if I could say this without taking away from Jesus Christ, the real good one came by. I know he's better than good. I know he's great. I know he's God. But the one came by that could help Zacchaeus. And he did. And I feel Jesus. If we're going to fill any of these empty seats, folks, we better forget doing it with saints. We saw the house full last night. Look at it Sunday morning. Okay, you understand? Singing ain't going to get them back here to worship. Singing to get them out to have fun. And I'm not knocking nobody that came out. I thank God for everybody that came out. And I'm not saying anything in any way like that. But the real work is when you reach out and touch somebody that's hurting. And they say, they must be real. I can feel it. I can tell it. They helped me out when I was in need, and I'll never forget it. Zacchaeus was in need, and Jesus passed by and focused his attention on Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus was willing to focus his attention on God. And when he did, Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, this day salvation has come to your house. How did Jesus know salvation came to Zacchaeus' house? He was willing to help somebody. That's all he said. I'll give my money to the poor and I'll pay back everybody I cheated. And when Jesus saw that Zacchaeus' heart was changed enough that where he'd always taken from these people, he wanted to help somebody, Jesus said, you got it. You got it. A lot of them said they had it, Zach, but you got it. A lot of people in the church that was watching me walk down the street said they had it, but man, you got it. Zacchaeus, a lot of these religious people, they say they got it and they worship and they try to do great works, but Zacchaeus, you care about people. Zacchaeus, you're helping people. Zacchaeus, you're the one that's really God.
Praise God.
He said, today Hallelujah. Salvation has come to where? His house. Forget about winning your husband if you're not helping people. Forget it. Forget about winning your husband on coming to church on Wednesdays and Sundays and arguing with him about it. Forget it. Jesus was so much as saying, Zacchaeus, your whole house is going to be one. The reason? You want to help people, Zacchaeus. When you want to help people, you're going to give all you got and you're going to recruit everybody around you. And that mean old wife of yours, she's going to have to help you some or look like a fool. She's going to have to stand there and just be belligerent and mean and awful, or she's going to have to get involved. And boy, Zach, the more she gets involved with you, well, she's going to see how much fun it is serving God. Well, it's no fun when the people are always standing around saying, you took my money and you did this wrong and you sold me that and you did this and that. But what about when people around you and you're saying, man, I got a family down here and they don't have any money and their rent's due. We're trying to help them out. Her husband died last month and they don't have any food for them. We want to help them out. Well, won't the welfare help them? Yeah, welfare will, but that's this government. The church is wanting to do something here. And we just need your help to reach out for Thanksgiving and feed some people. We just need your help to, man, your kids got toy boxes full and there's people down the street don't have any. Well, you just care about somebody else and reach out and help them. And when people see that, they know where the real power of God dwells in the lives of those that care about other people. You can spend your whole life running around mad at people that ain't like you. You can do it if you want to. You can spend the day like old Zacchaeus. You can do it for all of your life. Looking at the people and picking on them. You won't let me do this and I can't see God and I can't worship because of that. Or you can get out there and be a real Christian. And Jesus can look at you and smile and say, you got it. I can tell you got it. You love people. You help people. You go out of your way to give of yourself that others might be blessed. It's pretty subtle. It's straight. But I'm serious. If you're not willing to help, you ain't got it. That's how you know you got it. That's how Jesus knew Zacchaeus had it. You want to help somebody. You say, brother, are you saying I'm not saved? I'm saying you're in dangerous territory. If you say you're saved and you don't want to help, you're in a bad place. I wouldn't live there for nothing. Just to give a little bit of your time to help somebody else. When Zacchaeus was willing to do that, you know what God saw? He don't care what kind of shirt you got on today. He don't care how old your girls are, or he don't care what church you come from, or he doesn't care how you cut your hair. He loves you. He loves you.
Yes.
Now, folks, I got a hole in the standard, and I keep it. It's the old-time, old-line standard. And I live it every day of my life by the grace of God. But that's not what I love you by. I love you because you're breathing air. Because you're still alive. And as long as you're alive, I'm committed to love you. I'm committed to help you. But you're an evangelist. No, I'm just an old piece of dirt that God cleaned up and put His Spirit in. That's all I am. This is just my place in the body among many places. But the love that you got for people determines how your heart is with God. And when you don't have the love for the people, your heart's in the wrong place. I'm telling you, folks, when I have to run you down to get my message across, my heart's wrong. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about when you're not like me, if you're Baptist and I'm Pentecostal and I can't get along with you. I can't worship with you because you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Something's wrong. I probably ain't got the real Holy Ghost. If I can't love you because you disagree with me. I'm going to close, I promise you, right here. Because of Christ, after I got saved, and I mean this with all of my heart, I learned to love Catholics. I used to have bitterness, a hatred in my heart for Catholic people. And I'll tell you why. Because I disagreed with their way of worship. And you know what I really found out I didn't like? Catholicism. I love the people. I just don't like the religion. So should I condemn them because I don't like a religion? No, I love them. Do you understand? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm saying it with all love in my heart. I don't agree with everything that goes on, but I love the soul. I'm the only hope a homosexual is God. I'm the only hope that a murderer is God. I'm the only hope a prostitute or a liar or a thief is God. Because I can love them with God's love and they can see Him through me. And if they don't see Him through Him, through me, chances are they'll never see Him. They may be trying to see Him. And my personality's in between them seeing God. They may be looking to me saying, show me Jesus. And I'm saying, I don't have time for you. And all they see is me. But how about when I represent Christ? They can rise above me. And my little old problems or big ones or however you want to classify them. And see Jesus. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost helping here. God wants to help everybody in this house, including me this morning. That when people see you, they ought to see your Father. They ought to see your Savior. They ought to see the real Spirit that God gave you. Rising above people. Getting in a place where you see Jesus. And you know what I think Zacchaeus would have done if he could have? If he'd have passed by there and they'd have had another parade, I believe old Zacchaeus had got back up in that tree and started holding his hand down saying, come on, all you short people, get up here where you can see Jesus. See, the more you look at people, the littler you get. The more you look at people, the littler you get. Oh, but when you really get something from God, you want to help other people get where they can get a hold of it, to get up where they can see it too. With every head bowed, please. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, God, I come to you and I bless you and I praise you. Lord, I thank you for the simplicity of this little Bible story. God, I thank you for the goodness of the hearts of everyone here this morning. God, that they've sat, Lord, and listened and taken this into their soul. God, the enemy's going to attack them. And the first thing he's going to do is try to get somebody between them and you. Lord, when it happens, I want you to bring this thing out like a neon billing board. God, I want this message to flash before them. You can't look at people and see God. You've got to rise above those things to where you've got a view of Christ alone. God, never let self-righteousness, Lord, and invented holiness ever take place of your love in our life. God, never let a church, a group, or anything else ever take place, God, and be preferenced before your love flowing through us to touch others. God, let us be laborers, let us be workers. God, use us, everyone, to your glory. Every head still bowed, please. Is there anybody in here? One person, you lift your hand and say, Brother Joe, I'm not saved. You may say this, Brother Joe, I'm not saved and I didn't realize it. You may say, I don't really have it. I'm not ready for the rapture. I'm not ready to meet Jesus. I'm not ready to go to heaven. I go to church, but I'm not ready for heaven. Is there one? You'd lift your hand and put it right back down. I won't point you out. We're going to have a regular style altar call in just a minute. How many people in here, before I started this sermon, there was somebody or something about people that has bothered you in your heart? Okay, praise God. Praise God. You can put your hands right now. And now you see something, don't you? They're not the problem. You got the problem. Folks, I've had it. God help you. When you have to preach every day to every different kind of group of people there is, you've got to learn this. You've got all kinds of problems that will crop up in your life if you don't keep your eyes on Jesus. And boy, we like to blame everybody else. But what we really need to do is take the blame on ourselves. You can do all things through Christ. You can love everyone through Christ. You can love that ex-wife through Christ. You can forget all that bitterness and hurt and hardness. You can love that dad that abused you or hit you or whatever. You can love that mom that run out on you. Through Christ, you can do those things. You can love that ex-husband through Christ again. That bitterness will come out and the love of God will dominate every area of your life. God loves you this morning. I want everyone to stand if you would, please. And all I want you to do, please come to the altar. Please don't think that you're in a position you don't have to come to the altar. I'm going to get in it with you this morning. Because I have to pray every at least once a week. God, keep me from this. Being a minister, I have to pray. God, don't let me get judgmental. God, don't let me get to hurting instead of helping. And I want you to pray that. Every one of you, that your heart's clear and everything's all right. I want you to pray that. God, don't let me be overtaken by this filth. God, don't let me be overtaken by that uncleanliness. And those of you that you've been battling with something, I want you to come down here this morning. The only way you'll ever get rid of it is say, God, I'm wrong. It'll humble you, because boy, you'd rather let that old snake be wrong. But you're the one. It's in your heart. And you've allowed it in there. But by the grace of God, it'll come out. Woo! Glory and the love of God will flow in a greater measure. Everyone, let's come to the altar, please. Everyone in the house. You don't have to stay till all day or something. But what I want you to do is be honest. I want you to come down here and be sincere with God. That's all. I want you to say, God, that kid at school bothered me. And I've been treating him real mean. I'll never win him like that. I'm going to start loving people I haven't been able to get along with. I'm going to start being more lenient, God, and giving people more room. God, make my heart right. Make my heart right. God, make my heart right. Lord, and I won't blame others, God. I'll get my heart right so I can help them.
Praying.